Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it's indeed an honor and a privilege to be here in Alabama. Amen. With God's people, praising God's name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's always a treat to come to Alabama, and particularly Birmingham, and just be part of this church. And I feel like this is my home church here in Alabama. Amen. Praise God. Good to be with Brother and Sister Sutton. And of course, you people already know this, but what is true is always good to repeat it several times. And that is, this church is blessed with a wonderful pastoral family. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just want to wish every mother happy Mother's Day. Amen. And mothers are an important part of what we are. Amen. I thank God that I had a godly mother. And mother's prayers never die. Amen. Hallelujah. Till this day, my mother's not with me physically, but to this day, I still feel her prayers. Amen. They live on. Praise God. And I thank God that I had a good, godly mother, and by which I could measure, amen, and end up with a really good wife. Amen. Hallelujah. She's my better 80%. Amen. Praise God. I used to think it was better half, but found out she's more than that. Amen. And be here with my family and with just every good people. And I think I've put on probably 30 pounds since I've gotten here. Amen. There's nothing like good Alabama cooking. Amen. I'm telling you, some of that stuff make a tadpole slap a whale. It was good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just all I've done is eat. I mean, just eat. Yeah, just eat. It's a good thing I don't come here very often, because if I did, I'd make my brother Mark look like a little kid. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to be here with Brother Prince. Amen. And District Superintendent of Texas. And both my brothers are in Texas. And brother, it don't matter what they say, Brother Prince. I'm the oldest, smartest, and best looking one. Amen. Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I want my wife to come and testify. Maybe you can just sit and be seated a little bit. Amen. I want her to come and testify and tell us how she feels here today. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I have to concur with my husband. Folks, I am so full. I woke up full this morning. I go to bed full. And I'll eat something and I'm so full, and then somebody will bring another load of food in and it looks so good, I don't have enough sense to stop eating. So I keep eating, but it has been wonderful. We have enjoyed it so much. It has been so great to be here. And as my husband said, we are both missionary kids. My husband was raised in a missionary family and I was too. So in North America, neither one of us really have a church we call our home church. And I was telling the ladies on Friday, there is very few places. We've traveled all over the United States on deputation, but there are very few churches that we go into that we feel truly at home, that we feel this is home. But this is one of those churches. We love you folks. We love this church. Brother and Sister Sutton, all the family. I feel like they're part of my family, and we just love them all so much. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the ladies here. You know, I was thinking the other day about Moses and about Moses' mother. And Jochebed, we all know the story, but she had so little time in the life of her son. They think maybe 3 or 4 years that she actually had her son. And yet what she instilled in him in those few years that she had him caused him to go forward and be the great leader that he became. Ladies, we have a great responsibility. As mothers, we have a responsibility that goes beyond, I believe, any other responsibility in the world. And if you have your children sitting here in the service with you today, you've done something right, and you are to be commended. And I just want to wish each mother a very happy Mother's Day. We love you, folks, and pray that the Lord would bless you.
Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? God has been real good. We have several things going on this year. If anybody would be interested, our national convention is going to be in Guadalajara. Amen. It's the 27th and 28th of July. And I mean, we're going to have over 15,000. Amen. And our goal is to have over 1,500, 10% of that, of the 15,000, over 1,500, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time. Praise God. Amen. And we're serving an awesome God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're growing at a great rate. Mexico has been in a lot of turmoil, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And the church that I personally am pastoring, I started about a year and a half ago, just my wife and family there in Guadalajara. Amen. We're running well over 100 now. Amen. And we've started 15 different churches there. And so we're excited about what God's doing. Amen. And it would be great to have a group from Alabama go to our national convention and just be a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll be reading out of John chapter 2. Amen. I so enjoyed preaching or sharing some thoughts on Wednesday, teaching about the daughters of men. Amen. And I know I chose kind of a controversial passage of scripture, so I'm going to try to stick with something less controversial. Amen. Hallelujah. But I just feel like God wants to do something special here tonight. Hey, today. I feel like somebody has come here, and I know somebody has come here with urgency in their soul. And I would encourage you not to put your faith in a man or in a ministry, but put your faith in God. And God will do great things in your life. Amen. I've seen God heal people from cancer. Just last year, about November, one of our pastor's wives was diagnosed with leukemia. And it'd been going on now for a while, and we prayed for her, and God has completely restored her health. It's amazing what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. If you'll just trust and believe. Amen. John chapter 2. Amen. And we'll be reading this portion of scripture. Amen. And see what the Spirit has to say to the church. Praise God. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And when you have it, say, Amen. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men had drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost today. And I'm going to preach a little bit under the subject, the master present, the need presented, and the miracle performed. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, the master present, the need presented, and the miracle performed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We know it is anointed. We know that it is powerful. We know that you want to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I pray, O Lord, that you'll touch and minister to each and every heart. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and smile real big and say, I like your hairdo. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If he doesn't have any hair, just say, I like your tie. Amen. Praise God. I remember a long time ago when I first started in the ministry, I asked my dad, I said, what is one of the most difficult things in ministry? And he said, well, performing ceremonies probably is one of the most difficult things. And I said, well, which one? He said, one of the easiest is probably a funeral. And he said, because you know the battle's over. Amen. But one of the most difficult is a wedding because you know it's just getting started. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And perhaps, and now after 20-some years of ministry, I can concur that probably one of the most difficult things to handle as a minister, as a pastor, is a wedding, because there's all kinds of emotions that are running at the surface. Amen. There's all kinds of ideas. Amen. The in-laws think it should be done this way, and the outlaws think it should be done this other way. Amen. And everybody has their opinion, and it is the job of the preacher, amen, to bring it all together and make it harmonious and beautiful, amen. And then the wedding planner gets all the credit and the preacher nothing, amen. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? And when it's all said and done, everybody says, wow, amen. That wedding was beautiful. The bride was beautiful. The preacher, the bridegroom was he was a bridegroom, amen, but nobody talks about the preacher, amen or no amen, it's true anyhow, hallelujah, and then there's the reception, and then as my dad says, then you know the battle is just beginning, hallelujah, and we find Jesus here at this wedding, and weddings in ancient times were not like today, where in about 2 or 3 hours it's over. Amen. If it's a Mexican one, it's usually about 6 or 7. Amen. Hallelujah. Because usually it don't start on time. Amen. And then the reception goes on all night, it seems like. But in this particular case, they lasted days. Amen. And everything was set in order and everything was carefully planned. But in the midst of their celebration, all of a sudden something that could have caused vergüenza, shame, amen, to the family was there was no wine, amen. This marriage, this ceremony was coming to a fail. It was going to be a disaster. It was going to be an embarrassment to the family. Hallelujah. But in the midst of all that, hallelujah, we can have one assurance, and that is the Master was present. And when the need was presented, the miracle was performed. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, amen, hallelujah. You may be in a difficult situation. You may find yourself in a place where you have no way out. But I'm here to tell you the Master is present. You can present the need and a miracle will be performed. Well, amen or no amen is true anyhow. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what the banker says. It doesn't matter what so-and-so says. Doesn't matter what the counselor says. I'm here to tell you the Master's present. You have a need. God can make a miracle happen. Can you say praise the Lord? Perhaps of all the evangelios, well, they told me to preach in Spanish and in English, so amen. If I say something in Spanish, you just look like you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Perhaps of all the Gospels, amen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is one of the most important Gospels. Every Gospel, of course, is very important, but John has a different message. Amen. And in the Gospel of John, the focus is not so much in miracles, but in what Jesus said. Amen. His ministry. Can you say praise the Lord? And when you make a comparison, and a lot of people make the comparison between John's Gospel and Genesis, we find that in the first chapter of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And it's talking about creation. Amen. It's talking about the great Creator. And all of a sudden, in the second chapter, we find him in the midst of a wedding where things are falling apart, and he's present, and a need is presented, and a miracle is performed. Amen. Hallelujah. In Genesis, we find the same scenario, the same pattern. In the first chapter, he is the great Creator. But in the second chapter, he's at a wedding. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. I'm here to tell you, we serve a God, hallelujah, who is no, he can answer prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Creator of all things. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus arrives at this wedding. Everybody says Jesus arrives at this wedding. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus arrives at this wedding not expecting to make a miracle happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Not expecting things to get out of hand and things to go wrong. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this, Jesus's mother comes and says, they have no wine. And he really didn't want to make a miracle happen at that particular time, because he said, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour has not yet come. But she pressed the issue. She went on ahead, and a miracle was performed. Amen. I'm here to tell you, there are unexpected miracles of God. You're not hearing me. Hallelujah. There are unexpected miracles of God. I thank God for the unexpected miracles. Maybe it doesn't happen to you, but it happens to me. Sometimes you can be driving in your car and some tire blow out, and all you have time to say is Jesus, and a miracle happens. Hallelujah. It's an unexpected miracle, but it's a miracle nonetheless. Hallelujah. You can be walking in Walmart and just lay your hand on somebody and they can get healed. They can get the Holy Ghost. They can get saved. Amen. I'm here to tell you, I want to see unexpected miracles of God happen in my life, in my community, in my church, in my home. Is there anybody in the house here today that wants unexpected miracles of God? You say praise the Lord. I remember a long time ago, I was driving in Mexico, and there's only one kind of gas station in Mexico. It's called Pemex. And I stood at the gas pump, and I was, you know, they were pumping gas, and this húngara, this lady that reads amen, hallelujah, reads palms. She came up to me and said, hey, white boy, amen, güerito, amen, hallelujah. She said, hey güerito, I'm gonna read you the cards right now, and I'm gonna tell you your fortune. And I just looked at her like, oh my goodness, and hallelujah. And so when she looked at me, I said, okay, well, when you're done, I'm gonna also read the cards, amen. The word for cards and epistles is the same word, and I'm gonna give you your fortune as well. And she just looked at me. She said, I've never seen a white guy do that before. I said, well, you don't know who I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so she started. She said, well, I got to see this first. And she pulled out her cards, her cartas. And I said, no. Those are no good. I got the good ones. Hallelujah. And I said, I'm going to read them right now. Can you say praise the Lord? And again, cards and cartas and epístolas. Cards and epistles is the same. So, amen. I said, well, let's look at the first one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Amen. That says that hechiceros, the, ¿cómo se dice hechicero? The witch people, amen, are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And he said, and such were some of you, but now you have been changed. You have been transformed. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus and been baptized in his spirit. Hallelujah. She looked at me and said, wow, that's a pretty powerful card. I said, yeah, and I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. She said, well, I want to be baptized in that name. I want to get the Holy Ghost in that. I want to be healed in that name. Yeah, you said, praise the Lord. It's an unexpected, but that day we went and baptized her in Jesus' name, and you can see one of those ¿cómo se llama? Gypsy, that's it, amen. You turn to your neighbor and say, boy, that white Mexican having trouble with his English again. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. You can go to a church in Tamaulipas and there'll be a gypsy dancing around, hallelujah, and you'll ask her what's going on. I didn't expect what God had for me that day, but he gave me a miracle. I'm here to tell you, there's some people in this building here right now that you didn't expect God when he came to you, but you're so thankful for the goodness and for the mercy and for the unexpected miracles of God. Oh, sit there if you want to, but I'm talking to somebody right now that knows what I'm talking about, that you weren't expecting God to bless you. You weren't expecting God to give you high men your life, but he did it anyway. Unexpected miracles. Praise God. David said, my cup runneth over. Oh, you're not hearing me. Amen. My cup runneth over. That means it's spilling out everywhere. You'll be walking through Walmart and all of a sudden, ooh. People look at you and say, it's just a blessing spilling over. Can you say praise the Lord? Or sometimes somebody going to come up to you and say, man, what is it about you? Oh, it's a blessing spilling over. Can you say praise the Lord? My cup runneth over. That means you have no control over it. When you're walking and it's spilling all over the place, amen, you don't know when a blessing's going to get a hold of you. See, when it's half full, you just kind of, you know, but when it's spilling over, it just goes over where. Hallelujah. You say, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the blessings of God.
How many times have you been driving in your car and all of a sudden you just feel goose pimples on top of goose pimples? Amen. And you just feel like it's God that has come into that vehicle with you. Ain't nobody around. Hallelujah. You got to put your glasses on because tears are falling out of your eyes. Hallelujah. And you think people driving by you on the highway look into your car and think you're crazy. Amen. But you're just saying, I'm just thankful for the goodness of God. I didn't expect his visitation. I didn't expect him to come. But when he comes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually.
You say, praise the Lord. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You say, oh, hallelujah. Unprogrammed, unexpected miracles of God. And I got to get to my sermon. And turn to your neighbor and say, that white Mexican guy, get to his sermon. Amen. Praise God. And here we have Jesus at a wedding feast. Now, I'm having trouble because my notes are actually in Spanish. And I'm preaching in English. Can you say praise the Lord? So we have here a marriage, a wedding, and they have no wine. Psalms 105 says that wine makes glad the heart. Amen. Wine represents gozo, alegría, joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It represents. How many people have had situations where you have no more joy in it? Praise God. You get up and you're into a routine. You're in a rut and you have no more joy. Amen. You go to your job and there's no more joy. Amen. There's no more joy in your marriage. There's no more joy in your home. Amen. Your kids are there and you know who they are, but amen. You know their names, but you don't know who they are. Amen. You walk through and you see this lady walking around and you know her name is wife, but you don't know who she is. Hallelujah. What do you do when the wine runs out? I got good news for you. The master is present. You can present your need and a miracle can be performed. There are ministries, everybody said, there are ministries that have no wine left. Amen. You feel like God has called me to something. God is wanting to propel me into something, but I'm just stuck in this routine and it's just in day in and day out, and I pray and I study and I seek God, but there's no joy. There's no satisfaction. I'm here to tell you the master's present. Present your need and a miracle can be performed. Amen. There is nothing more frustrating than being a missionary on deputation. I know nobody knows what that's like, but I do. Amen. You're just driving everywhere, and people say, man, I wish I had your life. Get an RV and travel all over the United States and Canada and see all kinds of stuff. But when your heart's not there and it's somewhere else, it can be very rutinario. Repetitious. Amen. Man, I came up with that one by myself. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? It's day in. You go to churches and you're thankful to be there, but there's something lacking. Hallelujah. Amen. There for 2 years, I thought Lord had done forgot about me. Amen. I would go into some places that, man, they were the rednecks of the rednecks. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean to tell you, it was way back there in the boonies. Hallelujah. And I was just, Lord, I'm supposed to be in a city of 5 million people. Amen. But when you wait on God, hallelujah, when you just hold on, you don't understand why, but you just hold on. God has a way of turning things around on you quickly. You say, praise the Lord. And here we find these servants Jesus' mother comes to Jesus and said they have no wine. And I like how she said it because, here Jesus was not expecting to make a miracle happen, but yet because she knew what he was like, she was able to get an unprogrammed, unexpected miracle of God. Can you say praise the Lord? And hallelujah. I want unexpected miracles from God here tonight, here today. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Bible says she came to him and said, they got no wine. Amen. He said, what have I to do with you, woman? Amen. I like that. Then she turned right around and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And walked away. Isn't that just like mom? Oh, you're not hearing me. Amen. Hey, son, I want you to sweep the house. But mom! Walks away. I want you to clean your room up. But mom! Just walks away. See, she knows something. Can you say praise the Lord? That if you ask, it shall be given. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, it shall be open. I'm here to tell you, the master's present. And when you ask, it shall be given. Oh, you're not hearing me what I'm saying. There's somebody right now, you're sick in your body. You need a job. You need. I'm here to tell you the master's present. And you can present your miracle. Hallelujah. You can present your need and a miracle can be performed. And she turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. I like that because, see, Jesus, amen, he operates in an atmosphere of expectativa, expectancy. Amen. See, this brother here is going to go to heaven. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He operates in the atmosphere of expectancy. If you come thinking, well, let's see what's going to happen. Come on, preacher, move me. You're going to walk out the same way you came in. You're not hearing me. Hallelujah. If you come in just, well, I don't know about this. I'll try the church next week down the road. All right. Hallelujah. But when you come in saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something's going to happen. I ain't leaving this building till I get a miracle in my life, till I get a blessing in my soul, till I get something that I can take home with me. When you come in here expecting a miracle, you're going to walk out of here with a miracle in your heart. Praise God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. Some people just come expecting very minimal things. Well, we're going to have church. We're going to have some songs. We're going to talk about mothers. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Hallelujah. But when you come in here thinking somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost here today. Somebody's going to get baptized here today. Somebody's going to get their healing here today. Somebody's going to get a job here today. You're going to walk out of here expecting, amen, with a miracle in your soul. Is there anybody in the house here that came expecting a miracle from God? Number two or number three. I don't know. Y'all can keep counting. Number three, he turns to the servants and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. See, she knew something about God. And that is when God fixed him to do something, he always works through his servants. Can you say praise the Lord? Thank God you got a pastor. Amen. Turn your neighbor and say, I thank God I got a good pastor. Amen. He said, whatever you do, do it. That's the only commandment Mary ever gave. And that is whatever he tells you to do, do it. If there's a Catholic in this room here tonight, I want you to tell you, amen, you need to obey what Mary said. Jesus said, get baptized in his name. He said, get the Holy Ghost.
El que creyere y fuere bautizado será salvo. Hallelujah. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. El que no naciere del agua y del espíritu no puede entrar en el reino de los cielos. If you're not born again of the water and of the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's time you begin to obey what the master says you need to do. Hallelujah. If you want a miracle, if you want to get your way onto heaven, it's time to obey what the master says you'll do, and when you present your need, he'll give you a miracle.
Yeah, hallelujah. And then point number four, I can't remember what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that white Mexican having trouble with his brain now. Amen. But here we had six cántaros. These things here. Yeah, six that. Amen. Six pots. Amen. Of stone. After the now these are really cool. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, the white Mexican really likes this point. Amen. Praise God. Six is the number of man. Can you say praise the Lord? And so it is a picture of God manifested in flesh. It was six representation of his manliness, his fleshly part. But in those pots dwell water turned to wine. See, Jesus is God manifested in flesh. Can you say praise the Lord? Hey, oh, well, here it goes again. Jesus is God, man. He's not three. He's not a part of God. He's not a second. He's not a third person. He's not just some good man in the past. No, he is God manifested in flesh. And I'm here to tell you that same Jesus is in this building right now. Can you say praise the Lord? And I figured it out, and it told him to fill these water pots, and it comes out to about 680 liters. I don't know what that is in gallons. I think it's about 200 gallons, but that's a lot of water. Can you say praise the Lord? And I can just picture those guys. I'm not going to pick that up. I'm just pretend I'm going to pick it up. Amen. They had to carry a lot of water. Amen. They went over here and if they were Mexican, they probably went the first time, hey, it's water. Yeah, I know. Okay. Just thought I'd let you know. Still water. Yeah, I know. Okay. Just thought I'd let you know. Ah, Chihuahua, este güerito no sé ni qué onda. Todavía es agua. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm wondering today how many people are still carrying a bunch of water. Can you say praise the Lord? You've heard God prophesy over your life. You've heard several things, but you're still in that routine like those guys, you know. Andale. Todavía es agua. It's still water. Can you say praise the Lord? See, before Jesus could give them a miracle, he had to test their commitment to the miracle. Can you say praise? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You didn't get it. I'm going to rewind the CD. Es agua. Before Jesus gives you a miracle, he wants to know your commitment to the miracle. Oh, you're not hearing me. Hallelujah. It might be routine. It might be day in and day out. Got to go to every prayer meeting. And I got to do this. I got to cut the lawn. I got to do this and all that. But sooner or later, that water is going to turn into wine. When you least expect it, God's going to take out of your commitment and give you a transform.
transformation. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anybody in the house here that you're still in the commitment stage, but one day, and it's not too far away, amen, that water's going to be turned into wine.
You say, praise the Lord. Amen. There's sometimes you just go in and out, Bible study after Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. Can you say, praise the Lord? Amen. You go to every prayer meeting and every prayer, another prayer meeting. And I'm going to start another fast. And you fast till your belly button falls off. And things still go the same. And you're wondering, when is revival going to come? When is the book of Acts revival going to come? And I feel like there's going to be a book of Acts revival in America. But he's trying to test the American church and say, let me see your commitment. Let me see your commitment. Let me see your commitment, amen. And every day we go, hallelujah, carrying those water. But one day, hallelujah, it's going to turn to wine. God's going to give you a miracle. God's going to give you your blessing. God's going to turn your ministry around. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I know I'm talking to somebody here. He might be going through that routine every day of your life, but I'm here to tell you the master is present. The need is presented and the miracle is performed. You know what's so awesome about this whole thing? Verse 11, amen, says this is the beginning of ministry. Can you say praise the Lord? Look at Moses. He went for 40 years every single day leading those sheep. First 40 years of his life, he thought he was something. Next 40 years, he thought he was nothing. He thought he was an abysmal failure. Amen. When he least thought of himself, that's when God comes in. And says, okay, you're ready for ministry now. Oh, you're not hearing me what I'm saying. Amen. He didn't even know what. He said, Lord, I can't even talk. Amen. I'm not eloquent. I'm like that white Mexican. He can hardly speak English. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm here to tell you, amen, when you least think that God is able to use you, that's when God is going to step in and take you to another atmosphere. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Moses prepared 80 years for a ministry of 40. Praise God. My grandfather always told me, you know, Stephen, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. That means you need to hear twice as much as what you talk. Amen. And many times we got to prepare more. Amen. My dad told me one time, it doesn't matter. El que saca para... afilar el cuchillo, el hacha. Yeah, the axe, amen. Hallelujah. And it's always the little things where I mess up on. Amen. The lumber guy who sharpens his axe is not wasting time. And you might be sharpening your axe right now. I'm here to tell you, when God says go, amen, ain't nothing going to be able to stop you. And I'm about done. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's almost done. Amen. Here about 6 years ago, I started having some very severe pains. I don't know if I've told this here, but I'm going to tell it anyhow because I told the Lord anywhere I go, I'm going to tell this miracle. I had some severe pains. Matter of fact, man, my whole abdomen was growing. Amen. I was really, really concerned because... Amen. I started to look like one of my brothers. And boy, I look at him. He's, son, he's ugly. Amen. I came to a conclusion I must be adopted because, boy, I don't look like him at all. Amen. And I mean, it was getting big, and there was pain. I mean, you could hardly touch it. It was getting all black and blue. I mean, it was bad. And so I decided, and I'm one of these guys, I hate going to doctors. I mean, Lord, I'm going to be dead before I go to a doctor. I mean, I can't stand going to doctors. And besides the fact, they don't do anything. Amen. You charge you a whole lot and, you know, just give you a pill. Go take this. It didn't work, doc. Okay, go take this other thing. Amen. And so I went in, and he started pushing around, and I about clocked him. Amen. And so he ordered, he said, well, you know, why don't you take this? Well, when I showed him my insurance, you know, I got good insurance. Thank the good Lord and United Pentecostal Church. I got good insurance. Once he saw my insurance, oh, well, you need a CAT scan and a dog scan and a PET scan and a whale scan and, amen, all kinds of scans. And I'm convinced that half the stuff I didn't need, but they ordered it. Amen. I mean, you know, and so after I went through all this CAT scan and PET scan and dog scan and squirrel scan and, amen, hallelujah, he came back and I mean, after prodding and I'm sitting here and I'm paying this guy. You know, and Lord. And so, amen. And so finally he came back to me. He said, well, Mr. Dross, we detected what's wrong with you. Amen. And I was like, okay, amen. At first they said, we don't know what's wrong with you. And my wife was like, yeah, I've been saying that for years. Amen. And he finally came back and said, we found what's wrong with you. You got 3 tumors on your liver. And they're malignant. They're cancerous. And he said, we don't know where it comes from. We've tried. Man, they put in this stuff that made me glow. Amen. And I mean, it was weird. Like, I would go across the border. I was living on the border in Mexico. I would cross over into the U.S. And biohazards alarms went off all the time. And they'd come out, you know, and I'm like, no, it's just me. Amen. And I mean, it was weird. And so he said, well, you got so much to live. And I mean, it was bad. And when they give you that kind of news, the first thing that I had was anger. I said, why? I've given my life to this. I've given my youth. I've given everything. And then the other thought was, my wife's going to get all that life insurance money. And she's going to marry some young guy and go live on a beach somewhere. After all my effort. And I thought, that's why I married a woman who's older than me, so I could collect the insurance. It just didn't work out that way. I was like, Lord, life is unfair. I just could not believe. See, amen. I'll leave that one alone. And I was scheduled to go preaching in Colombia, Colombia, amen. And so I just told Anita. I said, look, I'm not going. She said, no, you're not going to do that. And I said, why? She said, you won't forgive yourself if you do that. Why don't you go? I said, I got like 6 months to live. She said, well, you know. And I first thought, man, she wants to, man, she can't even wait 6 months. I was like, she must have somebody already. And I was mad. I thought, okay, yeah, I'll come home in a box. And I went and I was there at the national convention and I was preaching and I'm trying to shorten this up and I was preaching. There was over 10,000 people there and the pain was so unbearable. I was grabbing onto the pulpit and I couldn't even move. And I just had the microphone and I couldn't even look up. It was just unbearable. I can't even tell you the amount of pain. And they say that guys are wimpy, but I'm telling you, it hurt. I was in pain, and I was grabbing there, and it was like in my mind I was having a conversation. My body was doing something else. I don't know if you've ever had that. Like, I was like, God, why am I preaching what I'm preaching, and I'm suffering the way I'm suffering?
And my ministry had become cold. Circumstances had taken the joy out. And it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, listen, you dumb white Mexican, listen to what you're preaching. And I was preaching, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And I thought, that's it. And I grabbed a hold of my liver and I spoke to those cancer tumors. And I said, I've been a praiser all my life. I have worshiped God. And if you're going to be part of me, you will worship God right now. And I got that mic and I started preaching as hard as I've ever preached in all my life. Boy, I was hurting and I was just preaching and I was going on and I was jumping, and all of a sudden, in the midst of all that, I mean, the thing was going crazy and people were coming up and petting me on the back. And, amen. And one of those, I felt my shirt even vibrated. I heard a sound and it just went like that. And I know I heard a sound because the people that were around me, they kind of went, you know, they thought I'd, you know. And I was like, no, it wasn't me. And I was like, no, it wasn't me. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I just ripped my liver. I just done ripped my liver out. My liver has just completely ripped out. And I know that don't make any sense to you, but that's what made sense to this white missionary kid. And I thought, I'm going to die right now. Well, good. I thought, I'm going to die. Good. I'm going to go tell God. You know, I've been preaching your word all this time, and you didn't heal my condition. And, you know, I thought, good. I'm going to tell him right now. I'm going to die preaching the word of God. And I kept preaching. And kept preaching. And finally, the Colombians were like sitting down, like, shut up, white boy. So finally, I decided, and so I went back, came back to Mexico, went across to Texas to my doctor, and I said, hey, and you know, they you get an appointment, then you go and wait in the waiting room, and then they take you, you know, you're on time, and you wait in the waiting room, and then they take you into another waiting room, and you're waiting there, and Lord have mercy. And I'm just like, man, doesn't these people understand I done ripped my liver out? So the doctor comes in, and he opens the door, and I said, doctor, I ripped my liver out. He just looked at me like, and so he started prodding me, and he said, well, that's weird. I said, yeah, I'm telling you. He said, you can't do that. I said, well, if it can happen to anybody, it's bound to happen to me. I done did it. He said, no, you have. And he said, well, he said, and then he kind of got a smile. And he remembered the insurance. Well, we need a dog scan, a pet scan, a squirrel scan. Amen. After all these scans, he come back to me. He said, Mr. Dross, it was several months later. He said, Mr. And I was feeling fine, man. I was like worried, you know, what is taking so long? These people, I'm living without a liver. Like, what's wrong with you? And finally he came back to me. He said, Mr. Dross, I can't explain this. He said, look, and he showed me all the CAT scans and all kinds of stuff. He said, look here. And there was fingers shooting out everywhere, and there was this mass. And I mean, he said, look right here. This is your cancer. This is what you had. This is what you had. This is how your liver is. And there is nothing wrong. There's not even scar tissue. I don't know what's... I'm here to tell you. The master was present. A need was presented. And a miracle was performed. Oh, come on, somebody. You might be in the same situation. You might need a miracle right now. I'm here to tell you the master's present. The master's present. The master's present. You can have a miracle right now. And say, praise the Lord. Amen. Bible says this principio de milagros, principio, this beginning of miracles. Hallelujah.
They say, well, you know, you're not really cancer-free till after 5 years. It's been 6 years. Amen.
Cancer is real dominant in my family. My brother Mark, he had lung cancer. God healed him. I'm here to tell you, there is a God in this place that knows no limits, no impossibilities, no boundaries. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to tell you the master is present. You can present your, hallelujah, your need, and he'll get a miracle happen.
Let's stand. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like ministries right now are going through routines, and you don't know when God's going to give you that transformation. If I'm talking to you, why don't you step on down here? Hallelujah. Praise God. If you need a miracle in your home, in your family, in your job, come on. Come here right now. If you need a miracle in your body, come on. Come on. You know, nothing would have happened if the servants had not obeyed the master. But somebody had to risk being made a fool out of them. And when the master said, okay, go take that wine to the master and give him. You know, the problem sometimes, the Bible says the servants knew from whence it came. A lot of times we have hang-ups in our lives, and we think, God can't use me. I know where I came from. I know what he pulled me out of. I know what kind of a mess I was. I know the kind of person I was. Amen. Bible says the servants knew. Amen. A lot of times, no, God can't use me. You don't know what I've done. Well, that's in the past. God knows what you've done. God knows this. God knows that. But he still has given you an order. Go and take that. And in that process, he's going to turn your water into wine. Somebody has got to step out and say, Lord, this is ridiculous. I can't explain it. Well, just because you can't explain it don't mean it's not real. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God can make a real miracle happen in your life right now, right now. Just raise your hands and say, Jesus, I'm ready. I've been ready for a long time. Hallelujah. You've tested my commitment. You've tested my resolve. You've tested, oh God. Hallelujah. And I need a miracle. Yes, I do. I need one. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he heard my cry. I've waited, oh God. I've waited. I've kept faith. I've kept believing. I've kept, oh Lord, trusting you. And I've waited, but I need your miracle. I need your touch right now. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to start carrying some more water and saying, Lord, hallelujah, I'm believing, though I don't understand what's going on. I'm believing you. I'm believing you. Oh, I'm believing you right now, Jesus. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Touch the person next to you and say, Lord, right now, even right now, God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, hallelujah. I'm believing you for a miracle. I'm believing you, oh God, to change my ministry. Amen. I'm believing that you're going to do something awesome, something incredible.
an unexpected miracle in my life. Come on, right now, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah.
You're my healer.